fries or chips, whatever they call them here. The potatoes are sweet, so that they give some satisfaction. But the salt that they put on it creates more desire to eat more. The more you eat, like potato chips, the more you want to eat. So it gives you a little satisfaction by eating the potato, and a little inspiration to eat more of them by eating the salt. In this way, the more you eat, the more you want to eat, and they make more and more money. In America, they had one potato chip company, and they Frito-Lay, I think it was, and they said in their advertisement, "I bet you can't just eat one." Because they give you a little satisfaction, a lot of desire, eating. And then salty, pungent. Too much pungent will affect what organ? What's that?
Stomach.
No. Pungent will dry out the
skin?
No. Did I write it down there, which organs it affects?
Yeah.
It should have been the lungs.
I don't know.
Did you say the lungs? Everyone looks so doubtful, I become doubtful.
For instance,
organs and glands
dry up. Yeah, well, let's too much pungent damages and dries the lungs. What does it say there? Organs?
Organs and glands.
Really? Anyhow. The lungs specifically, it says here. And pungent, the positive emotion for pungent is what? It's right there in the papers. What's that?
Excitement. Aversion.
Yes, excitement. Extroversion, tendency to go outwards, and imbalance of pungent is what is the emotion? Rawr.
Anger.
So you'll find that constitutions which have natural tendencies towards certain, just like for instance, pitta is pungent. Has within it pungency, it's salty, and it's sour. Therefore, they need less of sour, salty, and pungent than the other doshas. So, that which is most like pitta is sour, the sour taste. So, if a person has pitta constitution, they are not Krishna conscious, and they overindulge in sour things, they'll have, especially a certain time of the day, a certain time of the year, certain age, because all these things also are affected, have some effect, then their discrimination will go down, because generally pitta people are quite discerning. They're sharp. We mentioned some qualities for pitta, such as it's light, it's moist, and it's hot, but it also has other qualities such as sharp. Sharp, discriminating, piercing. But if they overindulge in sour, for instance, or their pitta is imbalanced, they'll have a tendency to become envious also on a lower level. They'll become uncontrolled and they'll become frustrated and angry. What's that? And then there is similarly, if a vata person, we'll go with the vata emotions now. So for bitter, what too much bitter will harm which organ? What's that? The heart, yes. The businessman who just exploits everyone, doesn't care anything, just as long as he makes money. He winds up with what? Who works so hard? What? Heart attack, yes. The cruel boss one day falls over dead from a heart attack. Ding dong, the witch is dead. And the positive emotion for bitter is? Yeah, self-improvement, I guess you can say that. The bitter lesson teaches you, balances everything, brings everything back to neutral. But what is there any word that's used there? I can't. To sum it up? Is that the positive aspect of bitter?
It produces a desire to change.
Yeah, desire to change. And the negative aspect? If you get too, yeah, grief. And now we have one more, which is stringent. And what, too much astringency will affect what? No, I mean for the organs. The large intestine. Constipation. The colon. And the positive aspect of astringent is?
Introversion.
Introversion. Introspection. And the negative aspect is? Fear. Therefore, a vata person, he'll have an excess of astringent, bitter, and pungent. So he can be very outgoing. He can be very flexible. He can be very thoughtful. Or he can be very frustrated and always fearful, insecure, and always going up and down, sometimes elated and sometimes bewildered and depressed. Similarly, a kapha person, he can be very satisfied, he can be discriminating, he can have a real zest for life, or he can have just enough, he's satisfied. Or he can be very greedy and complacent and envious and just always trying to enjoy. Is that clear? Or any combination of these things according to our combination. There'll be certain emotions that will arise within us because, you know, no one's just, you know, hi, how are you doing? You know, who are you? I'm Vata. Oh, I was wondering who Vata was. I read about you in a book. What's your name? I'm Pitta. But no one's just, everyone's a combination. But each one of us will find that some of these, some of, for instance, we may have some weakening of one of these organs. So why do we have a weakening of these organs, even at birth? Is because we have some combination of the doshas that we were born with. Similarly, we'll have a tendency towards certain emotions. So that's also formed out of our constitution. But if we balance these, whatever our constitution is, we eat the right food, we have the right lifestyle, we're Krishna conscious, especially, then we'll get the positive consciousness. And with the positive consciousness, it's easier to think of Krishna. If we have developed all the good qualities, then it's easier to remain in Krishna consciousness, or in the mode of goodness. So it's not that what I eat, or what I do, or how I think, it's not going to affect my Krishna consciousness. It directly affects what mode of nature I'm going to be in, whether I'm going to be in the mode of goodness or in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, whether I'm going to be afflicted by some disease or whether I'm going to be disturbed by some emotion, and whether it's going to be easy for me to think of Krishna or consistently, or I'm going to make it more and more difficult for me to remember Krishna or to realize Krishna. So everything we do affects these doshas, affects the physical body, affects our mind, our emotions, which ultimately determines how Krishna conscious we are and will become. Is that clear? It means introspective, the ability to think about what you're doing without having, you know, 10 people get on your case. Self-analysis. Or the ability to withdraw and to think, you know, within. Yes?
Suppose we have too much of some of these tastes. Should we cut down on the taste or take more of another taste?
Depends. For instance, too much of which taste?
Too much sour.
You mean we're eating too many sour things?
No, suppose we get envious.
Oh, we do. You mean in terms of what will help us besides becoming Krishna conscious? Well, obviously, if you balance, depends what your constitution is. Pitta. So there'll be a tendency like, yeah, so you do that, what balances pitta. Take less sour things, especially.
So cut down on
the sour things. Less. What are the prominent things that are sour that we eat?
Yogurt.
Yeah, what's that? Yogurt, lemons, sour pickles, the pickles. There's so many sour fruits. Sometimes fruits are more sour, like pineapples can be more sour, oranges can be more sour. Things that are just, you know, getting that sour, you know, that sour taste. And we feel sour, and then we look around, why is everyone else feeling so happy? And I'm feeling sour. So we should avoid the sour taste. But even predominantly over what we eat is the sour emotion. We should avoid, we shouldn't identify ourselves with the sour emotion. Because the sour emotion will also produce, you know, envy. So we shouldn't feel sour. We should, you know, not like pitta people. They need a calm atmosphere. They need nice moonlight, cooling things, less competition. So if I'm always looking around, figuring out where everyone is at, and judging myself according to where everyone else is at, I'm a good person because, you know, everyone. I went to Mangalarti today, and everyone else didn't. So if we're always judging ourselves according to wherever, whatever one else did, then we'll produce the sour emotion. And then, of course, the liver. If the liver is out of balance, then also the tendency will be that pitta will be out of balance. So we shouldn't eat too much. You know, like pitta people, when they get envious, sometimes they think, well, I feel terrible. What's the solution? Well, what's the solution? I eat Mangalarti sweets. And then I kind of like burn out the fire, put the fire out, and I feel, you know, I don't feel anymore. The heat that's generated from envy, sometimes when we try to alleviate it by overeating, and then when we feel a little complacent, we've overeaten sweet, then we feel complacent. We're not bothered by the negative emotions or the heat. But then it affects the liver, so then after the food, you know, gets digested or whatever else, then it comes back even more. Our discrimination diminishes, the sour feeling increases, and our whatever negative emotions increase too. So we have to be careful that also we have to balance, the liver is especially affected by lack of regulation and by overeating. So by overeating, because just like, for instance, after, I give an example, after a big feast, we ate so much we can't believe it. Where did it all go? This food must be definitely transcendental, otherwise no explanation. But then we see somehow or another they forgot to serve out one preparation. And they're going around serving it, and suddenly they give it to someone I don't like. And he seems very happy. And he takes two of them. And I'm full, and suddenly my appetite reappears. And I want three. Although, you know, according to the laws of physics, it's not possible. So we have to be careful that by being envious, that we don't do things which will imbalance the liver and therefore create more of that. So instead, we can also regulate our emotions by proper lifestyle, not doing things that imbalance our different organs. Yes?
Is this possible to be conditioned by certain tastes?
Yeah, everyone is conditioned. That's called addiction. Addiction. Just like people who are sometimes kapha, they feel good about being complacent. They feel self-satisfied. You know, kind of like they feel completely, you know, self-sufficient. You know, surrounded by all their, you know, whatever they're surrounded by, they snuggled up in their sneha in their, what is that, in the mangsa, no, medas, in their medas, in their fat, they feel completely at home. So, you know, the things that increase that complacency, sweet and sour and salty, they love to eat those things. It makes them feel more and more complacent. They don't care what happens, everything's nice, and they feel at home. Like when it's a winter day and it's freezing cold outside and you're snuggled up in your blanket, you know, in the fire, and you know, and the alarm clock goes off and you just crush the thing. Just roll back on the sleeping bag. You feel kind of, oh, this is so nice. So by eating more sweet, sour, and salty, you get that pleasant material experience of complacency. So they overindulge in that. Or vata people, that excitement and, you know, I can just do anything, it doesn't matter, I'm going to run around for the rest of my life and everything's going to be new and exciting. You know, no such thing as responsibility or duty or regulation. I'm free, you know, I'm just like a bubble of air burst out into the sky. So they love that. And that, you know, by eating pungent, bitter, and astringent, it just, you know, takes your subtle body right out of your gross one. And you feel you're free. You don't even have a gross body anymore. You're just free to float around in the air and, you know, everything's exciting and there's no... But then one day, you know, you look at your gross body and you say, wow, it's still there. And it's in a lot of pain. And I'm still in it. And all my negligence and, you know, my freedom and irregularity, you know, now I got to suffer. Arthritis and rheumatism and, you know, being spaced out, whatever else comes from it. You know, my lungs, I can't breathe. My heart, you know, I don't know which way, how fast it's beating, and, you know, nothing goes through my digestive system anymore. There's a stoplight when it gets to the colon. Therefore, everything has its effect. So sometimes people, you know, pitta people love to overindulge. They get more intense, more, feel more powerful by overindulging in sour, salty, and pungent. They become more of the controllers. You know, vata people are more free and everything's more exciting. And kapha people, everything's cool. Nothing affects them or bothers them. So by overindulging the taste rather than balancing them, then one also, you know, gets more into those emotions. Does that answer your question? Anything else? Yes. Well, the source of the disease, as they seem to know, is lack of faith in God. Because their solution is to develop their faith in God. It's like a kinesthetic art. you know, whenever there's some problem, you go to God, He solves it, and you go out, and you get back into whatever caused the problem. Your slate's clean, and now go out. We say the same thing, it's just that this is more detail of how everything interacts and affects. Therefore, you know, out of envy or whatever, you know, you overindulge in alcoholism for whatever reason. Alcohol is also sweet. So people are looking for some satisfaction they can't get in other areas. They try to get the sweetness through alcohol. But the taste of alcohol ultimately is sour. And therefore it destroys the liver. But there's a kind of sweetness also in intoxication. When people can't get sweetness in what, by enjoying one kind of sense gratification, then they try sweetness in another area. Yes. What is that about? Well, there's so many factors. Of course, if you learn all these different things, there's so many things to learn. As then you can get some idea according to your symptoms. There's so much to learn like that. These are not the only factors. Our constitution is one factor. Our age is another factor. For instance, in childhood, kapha generally becomes more predominant. In middle age, pitta becomes more predominant. In old age, vata becomes more predominant. Still only at the time of the day, between 8 o'clock, before when the sun's rising, at the time of that change, say between 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, then vata is predominant. And from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock, when things are more stable, then kapha becomes predominant. And then when the sun becomes the hottest, between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, then pitta becomes more predominant. In this way, there's always a changing of the during the day. And the seasons, during the summer when the sun is very bright and hot and sharp, which are all qualities of pitta, then pitta becomes imbalanced. And during the fall when everything's changing, it's getting cooler, then vata becomes imbalanced. And during the winter when it's cold, and there's not, the snow is on the ground, not much happening, the kapha has a tendency to get imbalanced. So in this way, the seasons also imbalance our age, the time of the day, the type of the food that we eat, our emotions. These all have a tendency. So if one is aware of these things, then he can adjust accordingly. Of course, we should always keep in mind that the real thing is to be Krishna conscious. And if one follows a regulated diet with some adjustments to the season, like in the winter you wouldn't expect to have an ice cream party, even if it was offered to Krishna. Nor in the summer, you know, you wouldn't expect to, you know, have huge feasts in the summer when it's the hottest in the summer, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, bring on the fried things and the pizza. So one has to adjust, because in the summer when digestion is the least, and one has to eat less. And in the winter when there's more digestion, one should still avoid eating things that are too cold, that are too much like the season. One should eat things which are hot or dry and, you know, give some warmth, you know, spices, a little bit more salty, sour and pungent things in the winter. And things that are more astringent, bitter, and sweet in the summer. A little common sense. Or when I'm, you know, I should understand, as I get older, then as vata increases in my body, even if I have a pitta constitution, I can't eat like I'm, you know, 15 years old. Because vata is increasing, and vata means that the digestive power will be weaker. As I get older, therefore I have to adjust. Although when I was 15, you know, whatever went in got burnt, you know, it was like my stomach was like an incinerator. But now that I'm, you know, 80 years old, you know, the incinerator is not as powerful as it used to be. Just can't throw anything down there and expect it to be consumed. So one has to adjust for age and for the season and even for the time of the day. Generally, for most people, most places, the best time to eat your biggest meal, if it's possible, is when the sun's at the highest in the afternoon. And generally in the early morning and the evening, late evening, one shouldn't eat big meals. Because the tendency, because when pitta is strongest, then the fire digestion will be the strongest. But if one eats during vata times when the sun's going down, and vata is being disturbed, there's much more of a possibility of vata being disturbed within the body, and therefore digestion will be minimal, or its minimum power. So, with this in mind, we'll go over some other factors about eating. This also applies to everything, not just eating, just like exercise, for instance. A kapha person, you know, just to get out of bed is it, he feels is enough for him. But so he should have some, he should try to plan out a day which is stimulating. That they, people are kapha by constitution, and they should, you know, get into some, they're very good at habits. Yeah. Water is kapha. What could be more inert than a sink? In any case, kapha people, they need some excitement, they need some exercise which is stimulating. One exercise which is good for everyone is walking. So, but they should walk a little faster than everyone else. But they have to get out of the house, they have to get out of their sleeping bag or their bed and get motivated and do something. So they're good for, you know, something a little bit more energetic. A vata person, he'll want to do aerobics and, you know, running or whatever else. So, but they should do things which are more calming, relaxing. They should actually do the opposite. You know, steady walking, getting out in fresh air, but steady, calm, relaxed yoga or something like that. Similarly, pitta people, they, whatever they do is competitive. They always want to be on top. So they generally choose some sport where they're in competition to others. But they should do something which is non-competitive. You know, like yoga or tai chi also. And then even within the exercise, something, even one's exercises should be, can have an effect on one's doshic level, balance of the doshas. Similarly, everything what we do, how much we sleep, how we talk, everything has an effect on us. Therefore, we should be, what our service is, what our, like pitta people, vata people are the ones who usually come up with ideas. They're more creative. But they can't, if a person is only vata, then pitta people are the persons who can engineer it, figure out how to put their ideas into practice. And kapha people are the persons who can go on, once the idea is formed, once the system is there, they can just go on and run the system. Ideally, of course, each one of us should have balanced vata, pitta, and kapha, so we should ourselves, if we were acharyas, come up with all the ideas, figure out how to put them into practice, and make sure that and be the person to run the whole thing. But none of us are like that. Therefore, according to our doshic balance, or our mentality, whatever, however you just want to call it, we'll have a tendency to fit into some service. But then we have to be careful that a vata person, he's regulating his service, and that a pitta person is not competing against everyone else. And a kapha person, you know, he just doesn't do the minimum. He tries to do something which is like pushes him or motivates him or excites him to do something. So in this way we can see our whole life in terms of these things and try and become more balanced. And that will help our Krishna consciousness. Or if we're Krishna conscious, you know, then when the alarm goes off, and even though we're in our sleeping bag, for Krishna's sake, we'll get out and willing to do something. And even if we're vata, you know, for Krishna, we'll realize that, you know, life is more than just meant for all excitement, and I just can't do whatever I want to do, and everything's going to be all right. You know, we'll have to be regulated and dutiful, kind of calm down our excitement a little bit. And a pitta person will realize that, you know, even if he gets to the kingdom of God, he won't become God. That there might be other people in the kingdom of God with him, so he becomes more, less competitive and more open to others. Now we'll go over different ideas about what health actually is in terms of Ayurveda. Because we should understand generally what it means to be healthy. So according to Ayurveda, so the first criteria is a digestive fire or Agni is in a balanced condition. Yesterday I went over the fact that there are different types of digestion. There's Manda Agni, slow digestion when kapha is out of balance. There is Tikshna Agni when pitta is out of balance. And the digestion is too fast. There's Vishami Agni when it's irregular, when vata is out of balance. And there's Sama Agni when the digestion is balanced between vata, pitta, and kapha, and it's at stronger optimum. It's at its optimum level for digestion. So Sama Agni, the digestive fire is in a balanced condition. And then the doshas are in equilibrium. At least the doshic levels in our body are the same levels that we were born with. That's optimum for us. Whatever doshic levels we were born in, whatever we say our constitution is, when the doshas are at that level, that's more or less or in equilibrium. The senses are functioning normally. For instance, there are five senses of perception, sight, taste, smell, hearing, and touch. But if my senses aren't functioning normally, then I won't be able to, all the other parts of my body will go out of equilibrium also. For instance, if my sense of taste, if I can't taste the food, I won't be able to digest it. Or if I taste the food, but it's the wrong taste, I'm getting the wrong taste, and that's also not, that's a sign of ill health. If I eat something sour, but it tastes salty to me, that happens. Just like in jaundice, you eat something sweet, it tastes bitter. So that's the sense that the senses are functioning abnormally. And if they function abnormally, then other things will go out of balance. The mind, body, and consciousness. Which means the soul, of course. Should put the soul, actually. Are harmoniously working as one. Which really means that we're following the laws of nature. That the soul, not that the senses have one idea of what they want to enjoy today, and the mind says, well, we have a different idea, and the soul is just completely bewildered. But the soul begins to have to find out what Krishna wants with his intelligence, and then utilize the senses and the mind to do that. Then they'll be working harmoniously. Otherwise, there's no question of working harmoniously. If the soul is simply following the body and the mind, then he's out of harmony with his nature. Only when the soul is following the dictation of the super soul, then he can utilize his body and mind in the service of the super soul, and then everything will go in harmony. Yes. Yeah, of course. You have to be, as soon as you're not Krishna conscious, you'll be out of harmony. And the three waste products, or the malas, are produced at normal levels and are in balance. The main waste products are feces, urine, and sweat. And everyone knows what it's like, you know, if you get diarrhea or constipation, or you sweat too much or not enough. So these have to be in normal levels and have to be in balance. And the last one is that in our daily lives, there is peace, bliss, and clarity. We're now Satchitananda with Vigraha. So that's equally important. That within our lives we're experiencing bliss, knowledge, and eternally. In other words, we're Krishna conscious. Without being Krishna conscious, then we'll seek satisfaction in the material world, and therefore we're sure to violate the laws of nature and everything else. We'll eat too much or too little, and the digestive fire will go out of balance, and therefore the doshas will go out of balance, the senses will become affected and won't function normally, the soul is not working in harmony with Krishna, will become dictated by the mind and senses, and therefore there'll be a difference between their interests, therefore the waste products, when the body is out of harmony. The waste products in the body will be formed in different abnormal degrees, and they'll be out of balance or harmony with each other. And progressively, one will get sicker and sicker. Therefore, bliss, knowledge, and eternity are also factors of health. Now, without even writing it on the board, we know that there are different levels of consciousness, of environment or experience of the soul. There's anamaya kosha, there's pranamaya kosha, there's manomaya kosha, there's vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. Just like the food that we eat is primarily forms the anamaya kosha, or dependence on food for existence, while the subtle prana that we breathe in forms the pranamaya kosha coverings. And the manomaya kosha is formed principally by what we hear, also by the food that we eat, also forms the mind, but also ideas or thoughts, they also form the mind. And then there's vijnana, intelligence. And above that, there's anandamaya. And most of there's different types of cures on different levels for different types of imbalances. Just like on the... Do we have any more water? On the anamaya kosha level, there's different ways of correcting imbalances through herbs, through surgery, etc. Generally, modern medicine aims at mostly pills, medicine with some body treatment, and ultimately surgery. On the pranamaya kosha level, then one cures a person by, for instance, different types of subtle healing processes, aiming, like they have yoga, pranayama, and there's pranayama, there's tai chi, there's things like reiki or other different types of healing. On the manomaya platform, there's meditation, And on the Vijnanamaya platform, there's... What's on the Vijnanamaya platform? What kind of medicine do they give you? Hearing about Krishna, I guess. What's that? Yeah, hearing. I'm just following the laws of nature, regulation, and understanding things properly. Ultimately, it's being in Brahman, relying on the super soul. And of course, above it all is anandamaya. But each one of the platforms, they pervade. So if one is factually Krishna conscious, then everything else will be adjusted. All the other coverings of the soul will automatically be adjusted. Similarly, if one is on the level of Vijnanamaya, the lower ones will all be adjusted. Therefore, it pays to try to figure out to cure things on the highest platform. And the idea that by chanting Hare Krishna and taking Krishna Prasadam in the proper consciousness, offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna with attention and love, and taking prasadam with devotion at the proper times, then that should cure all our diseases. But it has to be done in such a way is that we actually get the result, that we're actually offenselessly, lovingly, attentively chanting Hare Krishna. And the test will be, if we're engaged in devotional service in that way, all the good qualities develop. But in the meantime, all the good qualities, which means that we try and develop the good qualities in any case by eating prasadam and by being regulated in our habits, etc., that will also help our Krishna consciousness. We come to the mode of goodness and it becomes clear what the goal is, what we're supposed to be doing, and therefore we're much more likely to do it. Or if we already accept, although it's not so clear what we're supposed to be doing, then if we do that, then it will become clear. We'll come to the mode of goodness, and one day we'll transcend it and come to the mode of pure goodness. With that in mind, we'll talk a little bit about, even if I didn't bring the sheet, what the... How to eat, what are the improper eating habits? first improper eating habit is overeating. Who said that? Prabhupada said that. Where did he say that? How many a new devotee? What's a new devotee? How many months have you been in the movement so far?
1.5.
Ah. What is your experience? Are you following that instruction?
Yeah.